So, children, I wonder if you've ever had to say thanks, but don't mean it. Not just for children, of course, it's for adults as well. You know, mum and dad say, well, say thank you, and you say, thank you, because you have to. I wonder if you can relate to this illustration. When I was younger, my parents went back to the Netherlands for a short time to visit with family and with their parents then, and we had to stay at home. Us children had to stay at home, and somebody looked after us. But when they came back, you see, they had about four suitcases, and there's one suitcase that was dedicated completely with presents from the family in Holland. And we thought, this is wonderful and great. I was, you know, like about 12, 13 years old, and I thought, wow, this is really cool. But it was kind of one little hitch, because you see, they weren't always the presents I was hoping for. I remember my grandmother, she'd never managed to come to New Zealand to see us. She was quite a bit older when we left Holland, and she had quite bad arthritis, and she had Parkinson's disease as well. She was a widow. But she could knit, and she could knit really, really well. And her love to her grandchildren was knitting things, and socks and jerseys were her specialty. And so you can imagine a 12, 13-year-old, socks and jerseys aren't kind of high up on the presents priority list. And so as the suitcase got opened, a lot of those kind of things came out. And afterwards, of course, Mum and Dad said, well, now you have to write a card and say thank you, or get on the phone and say thank you. You know, it's hard to be thankful when you're not really that thankful. Because you see, thankfulness is not something that's kind of natural to us, is it? As some people come across and look very thankful, and they can say thank you a lot, but it's not something that comes naturally to us. And last year, we met as a session for our planning meeting, and we were thinking about what we should focus on for this year then, for 2021. And we had a number of suggestions, and we kind of summed it all up in this theme of thanksgiving. As we think about what God has given to us as a church, as a community of believers, but also as we think about what God has given to us individually, are we thankful for what God has given? Because it's very easy, isn't it, to take what we have been given for granted. Have we seen the immensity of God's grace and love to us in the Lord Jesus? Have we seen the immensity of his love to us in giving us this church and the fellowship of believers? So are we thankful both materially and spiritually? We have so much to be grateful for. But the question is, and that's what I want to look at this morning, the question is, how do you get there? How do you get a thankful heart? How do you come to a place where you can say, I am truly grateful and thankful for what God has given? And I'm thinking that I will have about three sermons, Lord willing, on this topic. Today I want to look at the foundation. So how do we get to this thankfulness, and how do we become truly thankful? Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at when to be thankful, and the third week, we look at the practice of thankfulness. And we're coming at it from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So 3 points this morning. First, Adam's thankfulness, then the Samaritan's thankfulness, and then our own thankfulness. So firstly, Adam's thankfulness, and there I want to look really at Romans chapter 1. And because Romans chapter 1, you know, we read that, you may know Romans chapter 1 quite well, and you read it and you think, well, that's really talking about the world, isn't it? Because in verse 18 to 23 that we just read, well, you know, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness because they know who God is. God has made all things, and he's made it good, and he's made it perfect, and what God has made and who God is should be plain to them. That's what it's kind of telling us. And yet they will not acknowledge God Look at verse 21. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking. Foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise. They became fools. And then we have this, we have the depravity of mankind described as you move on, the things that we didn't read, as you move on in Romans chapter 1. And really it describes our society over the past 2,000 years since this was written. Well, actually, our society throughout the history of the world since the fall into sin. But I think when it says there, for though they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him. And I think this is what hits home. Because who can here say this morning that I've given thanks to God in all things and in all situations and in all circumstances? You see, a lack of thanksgiving is something that rests on all of our hearts. It started off in the Garden of Eden. You remember there in the Garden of Eden, God had given Adam and Eve everything. Everything their heart could possibly want. You think today is a beautiful day? Well, if you were there in the Garden of Eden, this would just, I mean, this would be a dull day. You know, it was glorious. It was beautiful. It was always good. The birds, the trees, the mountains, the animals, everything was good. It was perfect. And God had placed Adam and Eve specifically in this Garden of Eden, the most wonderful and glorious place on earth. They could taste the fruit. They could watch the animals at play. I mean, what could be better? They had everything good. And what does the devil do? Satan comes. And do you know what he says? You don't actually have enough. You don't actually have enough. God knows that there is more. And he's withholding things from you. Isn't that what the devil said? God knows on the day that you eat from that tree, you will know both good and evil. Don't you want to be like God and know good and evil? He knows that your eyes will be opened because at the moment, he's indicating, your eyes are closed. You could have it so much better. And Adam and Eve look around them and see the trees and see everything. And they say, you know what? This tree here, it's so good. And the fruit is so good. I'm sure God is withholding something from us. They were dissatisfied with their lot. They saw the one tree. And that one tree and that one fruit was in their faces, so to speak. And all the other blessings that God had given them kind of went out the window. And they just wanted what Satan was holding out to them. God is not a good God, he is saying. God is a miser. He hasn't given you everything that you need and deserve. And when you think about it in that sense, you look at your own life and you realize we're not that much different. We forget all the mercies that he has given to us, and we are not full of thanksgiving. We focus on what we do have. We focus on what we don't have. And as we focus on the things that we don't have, we, as it were, shake our fists at God, and you haven't given me more. My little brother has more chocolate than me. His piece is bigger than mine. Look at it. It's bigger than mine. And we forget the chocolate that we've got, right, children? Adults? Maybe it's with cake or something else. A friend buys a bigger house and we forget what we have. A nicer house, we forget what we have and we forget what we've been given. And we want that. Or if we don't have a house, you know, all the other blessings that God has, whatever it is, we forget what we have been given, what God has so graciously, abundantly given to us, and we look at this other thing, and we want that too, and we become unthankful, and in so doing, we shake our fists at God and say, you have not given us what we need and what we want. And so so in a sense, we're making God out to be a hard taskmaster who's withholding what we should really have. God is not love. God then, in our eyes, becomes a miser. And we can't be thankful because we don't see him as a loving heavenly Father. So that's the first point. By nature, you see, we're unthankful. We're unthankful, and we need to acknowledge that. But then secondly, we come to the Samaritan, and we look at the thanks that the Samaritan gives in Luke chapter, in Luke chapter 17. And that's a, if you would turn with me there as well again, because we'll be looking at that quite closely. There's the story of the 10 lepers, of course, and we've just read the story, so you know the story, but leprosy is pretty dead serious. I mean, we're talking about, quarantines nowadays up in a 5-star hotel in the middle of Auckland for 2 weeks with the occasional COVID test in the middle of it. I mean, that's not real quarantine. This is a serious quarantine. If you get leprosy, you are quarantined for the rest of your life. You're ostracized by society. You may have no contact at all with anyone in society. You're a social outcast. You cannot go and meet your family anymore. No cell phones to keep in contact, or WhatsApp or Zoom or Skype or whatever it might be. No ability to go to church. And so what these lepers did is they tended to gather into groups so they could, I suppose, be together in their misery. There is no one person in this room, if I can say it like this, there is not one person in this room who doesn't suffer from spiritual leprosy, right? Because in many ways, that's what leprosy represented, the spiritual leprosy of our souls. All have fallen with Adam and Eve. All have been outcast from God. No one can come into God's presence as we are by nature. And so we're outcasts. And so that's the incredible nature of what Jesus does. You see, Jesus comes to restore, doesn't he? Not only does he give these lepers their physical health back so that they can again be part of society, he brings us back to God so that we can come and become what we were made to be. But Jesus heals these 10. He sends them off to the priests, who were like the health department that we have nowadays. There's a whole process whereby if you were cured from leprosy, there's a whole process whereby, testings and things like that had to be done before you could come and be part of society again. But you can imagine these 10 lepers, they're running off to the temple. I mean, now, and as they're healed, they're rejoicing because now they can go and embrace their wives and gather their children in their arms again. They can go back to their church. They can be part of society again. But as they go, one of them stops and he says, "Hang on a minute. We're clean now. Jesus has just made us clean and we need to go back and we need to thank him. How can we possibly enjoy the gift that he's given without truly knowing the one from whom this has been given?" So his heart is filled with gratitude, and he says, in verse 17, the narrator, Luke, says, "And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks." No doubt the other nine were very, very thankful as well. I mean, no doubt they were full of joy. And yet, they weren't joyful enough to come back and find out who it was and who truly it was that had healed them. You see, and that's true for all of us. We can receive all the blessings from the Lord. But what do we do with them? We take them, we receive them, and how quickly do we move on? We bask in the blessings, but we fail to acknowledge the one from whom those blessings come. At least acknowledge them in the right way. But this one man, this Samaritan, he goes back and he praises God. He gives thanks. And notice what Jesus, notice as the story goes on. Look at verse 14 with me. When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went on their way, they were cleansed. Right? See that word cleansed? So we assume that means that they were healed, right? And then in verse 15, when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, so we have two different words for healing there, but then you go right to the end of the passage in verse 19. Jesus, he's speaking to this Samaritan that has fallen down on his face, who's worshipped and who's thanked the Lord. He says, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Why didn't he just say, "Your faith has healed you," or "Your faith has cleansed you," just like those other two words that he used there? It's a different word that's used there. It's the word that is otherwise used in the Bible for salvation. So you could literally say, "Your faith has saved you." That's the word that's used. It saved you. One commentator puts it like this. He said, he has not merely cured him of his bodily sickness, but he saved him in the fullest sense of the word, because he really believes in him and he's entered into a personal relationship with him. You see, this Samaritan, he turns to the Christ who has healed him, to the Christ who has given him so much. And Jesus gives him not just healing, but he gives him fullness of life. These other nine, they were physically cleansed. No doubt they could join their society. They were grateful. They had a wonderful life. But this Samaritan receives more than that. He receives fullness of life. And I'm going to say to you this morning, you can only truly be thankful. You can only truly thank God and be a truly thankful person if you have met with the Savior. You cannot be a truly thankful person if you have not met with the Savior. There are plenty of people that can say thank you. But if you don't know Jesus, you cannot be truly thankful. You cannot be thankful unless you, like the Samaritan, come and bow down at Jesus' feet and realize he and he alone is the one who heals. He and he alone is the one who can give you access back to God. He and he alone can bring you, as it were, back to the garden, back into fellowship with God. Because when we come to Jesus, when we see our sin, and when we are forgiven by him, all our rebellion that we have in Adam and Eve, that we are by nature, is forgiven. And we come before Jesus, and he, as it were, ushers us into the Father's presence. And he, God, becomes our Father, our loving, heavenly Father. And it is only when we see who God really is, can we live a fullness or a full life, a life of thankfulness. And that full life displays itself in thankfulness. So I'll say that again. It is only when we can see who God really is as our Father. Jesus ushers us to the Father because he makes us right, and he brings us to the Father so that he becomes our loving heavenly Father. And it is only when we see who God really is as our loving heavenly Father that we can have fullness of life, and that fullness is displayed in our thankfulness. And I say that because that's the context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I've said this many times before. I alluded to it earlier on in when we're reading the Ten Commandments. You know, give thanks is a command, by the way. The Apostle Paul, God by his Holy Spirit, God through the Apostle Paul is saying to us, give thanks. Make sure you're a thankful person is what he's saying. And we can go from this building and say, you know, we were told to be thankful, so I'm going to be thankful from now on. Well, you could do that, but it won't last very long. And it, besides not lasting very long, before God, it's nothing. Because it's a command. But it's only a command after the truth about us has been stated. If you've been part of this church for a while, you've heard this term before. I say this often. First, there is the indicative, and then there's the imperative. The indicative is what God says about you and who God is. This is what God says about you. And then he tells you how to live. Then there are the commands. The truth always comes before the command. What God has done for us is always before what he calls us to do. And you can't flip them around the other way. The indicative always comes before the imperative. Always. So as we see God as a loving Heavenly Father, as we see him because of what he has done for us in the Lord Jesus, just like the Samaritan, he realizes Jesus is the one who has healed him. And not only has he healed his body, he has healed his soul. When we see God in Christ, we see him as our loving Heavenly Father. And then, as this loving Heavenly Father who's sovereign, who knows all things and who controls all things, we know that everything in our life is given out of his gracious and good hand to us. So if I can take the illustration of the Garden of Eden, we are tempted to eat from the fruit. And instead of seeing God as a miser who has withheld something from us that we really want, we start to see all that he has given to us. And we see and we realize that this loving Heavenly Father loves his children, and he gives us only what is good for us. And it is always what he gives is good for us. And so when God says, you know, there's this tree in the middle of the garden and it's fruit of it, I want you not to eat from it because it's not good for you, then that is good. Because we know God is good, and we know God has been good to us, and we know God is always good. You see, then, and then in our own lives, you know, not so much in the Garden of Eden, but then in our own lives, we start to look at the things we have, and we realize God is good. Because God is our Heavenly Father, and he loves his children, and he always gives us what's right. Now, every now and then, actually quite often, he gives us the knitted socks, right? The things that I'm not sure if we really like that. But we know where it comes from. And we know why he's given it to us. Well, we don't know specifically why, but we know what he's given to us is good. You see, as I hope this is clear. Because in the last sermon, I want to talk a little bit about the things that we need to be thankful for. But if I were to start off here and say, you know, let's make a list of all the things that we can be thankful for, and now let's start being thankful to God for them. Now that would be a good thing. That wouldn't be a bad thing. But it would make us think that, you know, we just need to be more thankful. If only I could just kind of kick myself and make myself more thankful. Now, sometimes we need to do that, but we can't do that if we don't see God as our loving Heavenly Father who has given us everything that is good, because he loves his children. Now, maybe you struggle with thankfulness. I know I do. In our Christian lives, we struggle with thankfulness, right? I'd like to say two things, building on what we've just heard already. If we're struggling with thankfulness, firstly, we need to ask ourselves, do we know Jesus Christ as our Savior? Do we see what he has done for us? And this is serious, you see, because we need to acknowledge that we are sinners. We need to acknowledge that we're no better than Adam and Eve. And God says, and God gives us that story of the Samaritan and Jesus and healing of the lepers. As they asked him, Lord, heal us, have mercy on us. He heals them. And so we as well, if we don't know Jesus as our Savior, we go to him and we say, Lord, heal us, have mercy on us. I, like those lepers, have spiritual leprosy. And I desire and I long for relationship with you. And we receive it when we ask him, because God is kind and good and merciful and loving. So firstly, if we're struggling with thankfulness, we need to ask ourselves, do we know Jesus as our Savior? But then secondly also, maybe we do know Christ and we do love the Father. But the problem has become that we've forgotten the gospel. We have been trying hard to work to be thankful and just doesn't seem to be working. And the Father in our mind has become a distant Father. The Father in our mind has become someone that's kind of up there, and often he's angry with us. And you see, we've forgotten who we were. We've forgotten that we were rebels like Adam and Eve, like the lepers. We were rebels. We were cast down in spiritual leprosy. And we've forgotten our salvation. And we've forgotten the marvel and the wonder of what God has done. How he's reached down, how he's stooped down, and he's grabbed his children and he's brought them to himself. How he's given everything in giving his only begotten Son. We've forgotten the marvel and the wonder of the gospel, because when we are reminded of that again, we see him as our loving heavenly Father and we turn back to him. And we become truly thankful people. Thankful amidst all of life's circumstances and difficulties. So to become truly thankful, we need to, like the leper, like the Samaritan, fall at the feet of Jesus and thank him. And there we can find fullness of life. Amen. Let's pray. O great and glorious God, you know each heart here this morning. You know where we all stand before you. You know our struggles. You know our difficulties. You know our trials and our temptations. O Father, you know our hearts. And so I pray, and we pray here this morning, that you would indeed, by your Spirit, pierce our hearts. Lord, make us a thankful people. Again, Father, for those here who do not know the Savior, we pray, be merciful. We pray, open their eyes to see the blindness of their own life. And may they find light. May they find rescue in the Savior. And so many of us, Lord, have forgotten the gospel. We've so filled ourselves with the things of this world, with the forbidden fruit, that we look on you with ignorant eyes. O Lord, our gracious Father, be merciful. By your Spirit, point us again to where we need to be. Father, grant us to see the beauty of Jesus. O Lord, give us truly thankful hearts, and grant us to live in fullness of life. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.